I want to share with you this morning some things that I believe we need to learn from. There's the Word of God that we learn from, but there's also life experiences that we can learn from. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, the Apostle Paul talks about what has happened in the Old Testament, about those being examples to us that we might learn from them, but also what's happening in this life as well. You know, things around us we can learn from, things in history that we can learn from, things, activities and certain moments in life, the life of a nation, might be a personal life or the life of a nation, that we can learn from. We want to learn from the things that are around us. And we have the Word of God, and we can understand that the Word of God brings life to us, but there's some things that happen in the natural realm that can get our attention that we need to learn from. And I shared some of this actually Wednesday night when we were in Summerside. I talked a little bit about 9/11. We know, and last Wednesday was 9/11, the 12th year. So it was the 12th year after the Twin Towers came down. And it's important for us to be able to look back at what happened at that particular time about how that changed the course of a nation, and even how it lines up with some of the things that are happening today and some of the things that were said about that particular time. And I want to read to you a few things that were said right after the towers came down. Some of the things said that were said by the politicians about that particular event. Because I want to talk to us this morning a little about how much confidence we have in ourselves. And do we have an overstated estimate of how good we can do things? I want us to look at the ability that God has and His ability working in our lives and how much we depend on that ability. How much do we depend on ourselves and how much do we depend on the ability of God? Personally and as a nation. So let's read a couple of things that were said by politicians in the nation of the United States right after 9/11. Tom Daskal, who was the Senate Majority Leader of the day, in his floor statement on a joint resolution of condemnation for September 11th, stated the following. He said, "There is a passage in the Bible from Isaiah that I think speaks to us all at such times as this. The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The fig tree have been felled, but we will replace them with cedars. This is what we will do. We will rebuild and we will recover." Now, it's interesting when he read that scripture because, as I've said Wednesday night, I'm sure that he had no idea what that scripture, the context of that scripture was taken from. Because the context of that scripture from Isaiah chapter 9, interesting, chapter 9, it was speaking about a judgment of God, speaking about God's judgment upon the nation of Israel at that particular time. Let's read the context of that particular portion of scripture that this senator spoke about. And it was a word in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8. It says, "The Lord sent a word against Jacob, and it has fallen on Israel. All the people will know, Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, who say in pride and arrogance of heart, 'The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stone. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars.'" Now, this was said out of pride when the nation of Israel were even being defeated to some degree. They were saying out of their own pride that they were going to rebuild. They weren't saying, "With God's help, we're going to build." They weren't saying, you know, "With God's help, He's going to restore the nation of Israel." They're saying, out of arrogance and pride, we're saying that we're going to build this thing. We're going to pull our bootstraps up and we're going to go after it. But this scripture was spoken about after 9/11 at the same time. And they were speaking it about as supposed to encourage the people, when in fact they were speaking out a prophetic word, a word that was given prophetically by Isaiah the prophet against a nation that was under judgment. Interesting, isn't it? Now, that wasn't the only senator that spoke these words. John Edwards, Senator John Edwards, spoke these words at the fourth anniversary of 7/11. On September 11, 2004, Democratic candidate for Vice President John Edwards spoke at a prayer breakfast for the Congregational Black Caucus. And these are the words that he said. Good morning. Today on this day of remembrance and mourning, we have the Lord's word to get us through. The bricks have fallen, but we will build with dressed stones. Now, he said the Lord's word would get us through. If he knew where those words were coming from, he would realize that he was speaking judgment over the nation. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will put cedars in their place. And let me show you how we are building and putting cedars in those three hallowed places. The footprints of the towers, the Pentagon, and the field in Pennsylvania, of course, where the plane came down. Walk with me through this day, and you will see that this is a season of hope. Walk with me through this day, and you will see that while those bricks fell and the sycamores cut down, our people are making those cedars rise. Our people. Nothing about God, with God's help. Nothing about God's providence being on the nation to be able to do things in the nation. Our people. Each time the bell tolls, it calls us to a greater purpose. It calls us to never forget. It calls us to always remember that when we walk through this day together, the cedars will rise, the stones will go up, and this season of hope will endure. Now here's again another senator speaking these very words over the nation of the United States. And God says there are words spoken in pride and arrogance. It's pride and arrogance of judgment. Now listen, Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verse 11. I just think the coincidence of this is just, it's overwhelming. It's not a coincidence. It's God speaking to us. And no, I'm not bad-mouthing the United States now here any more than the nation of Canada even. It's all mankind, and we have a tendency to keep God out. I'm simply using what happened here to give us an inclination of how we have to look at God. Look at verse 11 of chapter 9. Therefore, because they said in these things in their heart in pride and arrogance, therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and spur on his enemies. In other words, the Lord was going to spur on the enemies of Israel to bring judgment onto Israel because of their arrogance and their pride. Now, I'll ask you, look at the nation of the United States today. And since then, it seems like they have more enemies than they even had back then. I mean, there's Syria now they're dealing with. There's still Afghanistan. There's still Iraq. There's still Lebanon, which is an enemy as well. And there's Russia. You know, they're clashing there. And it seems like this verse of Scripture that God is using here, he's saying, because, let's read that again. Verse 11, therefore the Lord shall set up adversaries of Rezin against him and spur on his enemies on. I think we're seeing something before our very eyes that God is calling to attention. I believe you and I must take notice of what God is saying within these scriptures. We can learn from these examples. Last week, we talked about inheriting the blessing of Abraham and that Abraham's blessing were on us. And we're going to go there a bit again this week, but I want us to make sure that we deal with issues in our lives that might cause the favor of God to be lifted off of our lives. And this whole area of arrogance and pride must be dealt with. It is something that mankind must deal with, because we often get into a place of arrogance that we can do it our way, that we can go through life and we can boastfully say, I did it my way. No matter if it was even people will go through life and have devastation and devastation one after another come upon their lives and still be proud of the fact, well, anyway, I did it my way. Rather than yielding to God's blessing and God's anointing, because he wants to be a blessing to us. So I want to talk to us. I want us to this morning just to deal a little bit about this whole area of pride. First of all, what is it? Arrogance, pride, what is it? We know it's one of the things, yeah, it is sin. It's one of the things that if you want to get God riled up on your behalf against you, then just start talking boastfully. Start talking pridefully. Well, let's look at that word pride for a moment. There's a number of Greek words. Actually, we're going to look at the Greek definitions of pride for a moment. And I'm not going to pronounce them. Let's put the first one up there, Robbie, please. And the first Greek word that we're going to discuss for a moment, it is a word that Jesus used about that when he was talking about all kinds of things coming out of our belly or our heart. Blasphemies, and one of them was in the area of pride. And the Greek word that was used there was that should not be the one. Isn't there two before that, Rob? That's the first one that's on there? Okay, I must have them wrong. Put up 5243, the number. 50, that's four. Okay, that's it there. Oh, all right. I get looking at that, looking at this, and I'm all confused. That's the right one. Okay, that's the one that the Lord, that's the Greek word there for pride is the one that's used in Scripture when the Lord talked about all kinds of blasphemies and stuff coming out of the heart. And notice, it's haughtiness, it's arrogance. It's the character of one who with a swollen estimate of his own powers, or he thinks of himself in swollen ways, in big ways. He looks down on others and even treats them with contempt. This area of pride, we have to think about this for a moment. Do I ever do that? Do I ever think that I'm better than somebody else? Do I ever think that I'm worth more than somebody else because of my, quote, position or my education or because of what family I was born into or anything like that? Do I ever think that I'm better than somebody else? Well, if we do, we may be acting in pride, we'd be acting in arrogance, and we would have this character about us that we'd have a swollen estimate of ourselves. That's one of the words that is used for pride in the Scriptures. Let's go to the next one. And this particular word that is used, it's a different Greek word, but it's used when Paul was given instructions to Timothy to put people in charge of the church, to put elders in the church. And he said, don't let a novice get in the place of being an elder in the church. Because, he says, lest that person be puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation of the devil. So we want to make sure that when we put people even in places of leadership, we make sure that they are not a novice, because they would have more of a tendency to get puffed up in pride. Now, I find this very interesting, the meaning of this word pride here. To raise a smoke, to wrap in a mist, to be puffed up with haughtiness or pride, to blind with pride or conceit, to render foolish or stupid. Now, this word speaks to us about that when we're acting out of this type of pride, we can actually blind ourselves into the reality of a situation. We can actually confuse ourselves, thinking that we are important, and as a result of that mist, as a result of that smoke around us, we cannot make good decisions. We make poor decisions. We think we know more than what we do. I got saved, and 6 months after I got saved, I thought I was a Bible scholar. Because I was comparing myself with other people around me. I mean, fact is, I really knew nothing. Nothing about anything, really, when it come. I knew the Word of God. 6 months after I got saved, I already had a lot a word into me that I had gained because I had just got a real hunger for it, and I studied and so forth, and I really got a hunger for the Word of God. But really, in practical areas of walking out in life, I knew very little of it. And people around me didn't know. A lot of the elders really didn't even know probably as much of the Word of God as I could remember at that time. But they had gained a working knowledge of it far beyond my years. And so I was puffed up to some degree in pride. And I could even get into myself into a place where that pride would cause such a mist or smoke around me that I was unable to see the depth of truth that they were walking in, that others were walking in around us. So we have to be careful when we are learning things, when we step into new things. People do this all the time. Start a new job. Somebody comes into a new job, and I don't care what it is. If you're smart, I don't care how much you know about it. When you walk into with your peers and stuff, you don't know, walk in there like you know it all, and that you're going to go there and show people, other people, how to do it. You know, if you're smart, you'll take your place and realize that there's other things to learn rather than just what you have by head knowledge. Now, so let's move on to another definition of pride that's used. Here, John, the Apostle John, talks about the pride of life. And this really speaks to us about the pride that we might have in ourselves or in our job, in our position. It might be a pride in our nation. We might have a prideful nation. And it speaks to us of about a person who might be really his empty. He talks like a braggart. In other words, he brags himself up. And really, when a person does that, it just shows how empty he is or she is. When a person talks a braggartly, it just really shows how empty a person really is, because there's so much mist around them, they don't really see what they're doing is making themselves look foolish. How many people love a braggart? Not that many that I know of. Well, you know, well, let me move on. This word means an empty assurance. It's empty. An empty assurance that I can do things. I'm able to make it happen. I can do it on my own. In all honesty, I had to ask, when I was doing things and things weren't going too good and I was thinking I was doing it on my own, I had to look at myself and say, well, how's that working for me? An empty assurance which trusts in our own power and resources and shamefully despises and violates divine laws and human rights. In other words, we don't even think about what God says. We work outside even the laws of God. We refuse to. That's a terrible, terrible characteristic to walk in. Pride. And you might be like I was. And one day when I was listening to a sermon, I can still remember the guy's name. I don't know if he's gone to heaven now or not, but the guy's name is Bob Mumford. And I was listening to a tape, because I used to do this all the time shortly after I got saved. And sometimes the tapes weren't very clear that I was listening to. And I'd have to listen right down to them to be able to hear, because I was so thirsty for the word. And I remember he was talking about pride. And in my prideful state, I wrote in the top of my notebook, I gotta watch myself that I don't get caught up in that. I say in my prideful state because I didn't realize how prideful I was. I was thinking, yeah, I gotta be careful that I don't get there. In my prideful state. Yet shortly after that, the Lord showed me so many areas of pride in my life and how much trouble I had gotten into because of pride in my life. You see, we can bring ourselves to that place. I think every one of us have to deal with that. We're all in the process of dealing with that. We're all on a journey dealing with that. And some of us are further along than others, but we're all dealing with it. You might be further than I am, but we're all dealing with it. And it's, as soon as we think that we don't have to deal with it, we'll fall right into it. In fact, we're probably already into it. We're prideful about how humble we are. Listen to this, Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. One of the songs we sung today, that's one thing, one of the reasons I love worship is because one of the songs that we sung today dealt with being on your knees, taking care of your pride. Or getting on your knees, the process of getting on your knees deals with pride in your life. I don't know about you, but that helped me in my life. That helped me to deal with my pride. Is to come. One of the things that helped me in dealing with pride in my life is just to abandon myself in worship before the Lord. Because I was doing things that were so uncomfortable to me that I was knocking down my flesh in the process. And that helped me. Worship, prayer will help us in the area of pride. Help us get rid of it. But I want to take a minute now. I asked Cliff to lead us in prayer. I want us to deal with this area of pride right now in our own lives. We're talking about it. We're talking about how desperately we need to deal with it, not only personally, but individually, and I think as a nation, and maybe as a church. As a church, I have heard some things that have been said, and I've no doubt said them to myself. Prideful remarks to other people in other churches about our church. I know I've heard some things from other people said about our church. And when I heard them, I thought, oh, gee, that sounds kind of prideful. And when you hear those things, it disturbs you because the scripture says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and God will exalt you. And the scripture says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Boy, I'm telling you, I might have you resisting me, and that's kind of bad. I don't want that. But to have God resist me? Whoa, that's a hopeless situation. If you have God resisting you, then we're in trouble then. I don't want God resisting, standing against our church and saying, I'm going to resist you from going forward because you're operating in arrogance and pride. Well, we'd go nowhere. And so we want to ask God to help us in that area. Cliff, would you lead us, please?
Father, we come to you humbly to ask that you lead and direct our thinking, that you lead and direct our activities as individuals, as a fellowship, and yes, as a country. Father, we need your guidance. We need it day by day. Where we have failed you, Lord, we ask you to forgive. Guide our steps to bring you honor and glory. Pray with me, the psalmist. I've read the psalmist, and I just think this is appropriate. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will ever be in my mouth. My soul will take its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And as we do, Lord, we ask that you would lead us step by step to walk faithfully before you. In Jesus' name.